lift up this time that you've given us, and I come to you with what you showed me this week. And I want to give glory to God for a word that he pressed into my heart out of Romans chapter 1. And this is kind of a strange way of preparing for our commemoration of the Lord being brought into the earth. Because you see, he came in seed form. And a lot of times we don't comprehend because we're so westernized. If you and I were brought up in the Middle East, especially the time of our Lord, the time of the conception of a child is when that child's birthday is celebrated. So keep that in mind when you realize St. Paul is trying to tell us something, even in Romans 1, which I had never really connected this particular verse with this season. Verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, or the good news of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David. Now, I don't know why that jumped out this week, but it did. As to his human nature. And a lot of times we focus on the godly nature of the Lord. And we don't often, let's say, maybe take time for his human part. And many years ago, a friend of mine went to Israel. And when he came back, I said to him, what was your, let's say, revelation of the Lord, because he was born again, and he loved the Lord. And when I asked that question, he says, well, you know, the human part of Jesus, like, he really did walk the earth, you know? Like, he really had breakfast, lunch, and supper. Like, he went fishing. Like, he was real. He was flesh. And he says, more than anything else, that became a reality for me. So I pondered those words because they went back into my heart several times because I liked this gentleman. I really did. I had a nice relationship with him for quite a while. And the Lord severed it later on. But that was okay. There was a season. How many know there's a season? Okay? And it's okay. So, you know, the human part of Jesus, the human part of his babyhood, was probably my biggest focus for many, many years because of my childhood. And when you're brought up in the Roman Church, it's baby Jesus all the way. And Mother Mary is lifted up. So, for me, it took the Holy Spirit to awaken that truth in me, that he was not a baby anymore, he was a man. And that happened during the Easter season. And I don't even remember what the message was, but I know the pastor, which was Father Levesque, began to teach on something about Christ and his crucifixion. And somehow a word was coming out of his mouth that awakened me. And I remember walking out of St. Anne's Church and weeping. Now, why? Because all of a sudden, there was like his humanness, his maturity as a man was evident to me. And baby Jesus died in my heart that day. Because a child's attitude was still being carried at the age of 38, maybe 39. So you see how long you can walk with the attitude in your heart of something that you've known all your life, yet his human adulthood was never my real focus. It was always baby Jesus. And baby Jesus, for some odd reason, was the center of where I concentrated on, and not his maturity, not his adulthood, not even his sacrifice on the cross. Because that was kind of, I don't know, washed over or camouflaged. I don't know how the enemy did it or how I did it, because I don't know if it was demonic or not. But I know the results of that particular experience that day was, oh my God, he's a man with full authority. And it impacted me. I can remember the days that followed that. His humanness, his maturity, his discipling the 12 was all part of what I was now starting to be able to maybe digest, if you wish. Because I was going from a child's mentality to an adult awareness. So again, you know, regarding this, his son, who as his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God. Now, when I was reading this week, the awareness of the adulthood in the Spirit, verse 4, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. And I thought, wow, isn't that the Christmas message? Isn't that rolling over the perception that, okay, he's not a baby anymore. He's an adult. He's matured. But he matured under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's doing in us. It's not a different situation. I mean, I can say, in fact, I shared this with, you know how God's timing is so odd? We never can coordinate God's timing. He is just sovereign. I have a young man that lives not too far from me, and he ended up at my house, and we communicated for a couple of hours last night. We took about an hour really talking a little bit about God. And that was not his purpose for coming over. But the bottom line, as we communicated, I was aware that, you know, because I've been aware that this young man has a calling on his life, and I told him so. And he's not religious. He's not interested at this time. But I said to him, my revelation of who I was in Christ began at 27. Now he's 28. And we talked about that. We talked about when it's time for God to unveil your purpose. And when he's starting to draw you in, he'll pick you up wherever he needs to pick you up. Now, I was 27 when that awareness, okay, that I wanted more of the Lord. Even though I was aware that he was born in a manger and all that good stuff, and yes, he was baby Jesus, and Mary held on to him and all that knowledge. But knowing him and wanting to know him came at 27. But I'm trying to make us aware of when he begins to work on us, and we're all different, and our callings are different, and our human nature is different, just like he, you know, had that human nature. But the Holy Spirit, see, it says, through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. And through him, verse 5, and for his name's sake we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes first from faith etc., etc. Now, I also heard 1 John chapter 1. So we're going to go there and kind of take a peek. Because again, John is really, in 1 John, revealing another aspect of him. And he's called the Word of Life. So, verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. There's all that human part. Got it? This we proclaim concerning the Word of Life. The life appeared, and we have seen it, and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him, and to declare to you, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth. And if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, you've got Paul writing about the human aspect, the fleshy aspect of his background, connecting him to David. And again, I would say to you, for those of you who really want to know the character of his background, his difficulties, many years ago, the Lord had mentioned to me, because I was kind of upset. I mean, I was related to Gail there. I was mad, angry. God, why didn't you let us know what his child life was like? You know, his childhood was where was it? You know, all those years. One little mention here, or, you know, he ran away over there, and that's it. How many of you know, of your own background, how a turmoil type of life that we all had? I mean, childhood is far from being comfortable. It is all kinds of pain, all kinds of different tests, and yes, there's a few pieces of joy, but the joy gets kind of swallowed up by the hardships. Amen? And when you get to that puberty stuff, I mean, it doesn't get any easier. It just gets a little more difficult. And you get to see your own rebellion and your own lawlessness and your own fleshy aspects. And I wasn't happy about that. Kitty Land was much more fun. But you know what? It was foggy. It was very foggy because of the circumstances of my past. So, you know, when I was kind of upset with God because I couldn't deal with some of the things that I had remembered from my own childhood, and I wanted to know, and I was kind of knocking on His heart, and I said, Lord, you know, well, what was your childhood like? And He remembered, you know, well, I should say, I remember, in my frustration, crying out, and going into my heavenly language and just worshiping for a few minutes. And all of a sudden, you know how God just dumps on you? Well, He said, look at King David. He's my background father. And, of course, Romans connects him to the flesh part. Well, where do you and I have a problem as children? But with the flesh. And I said, oh my God. And of course, the scripture says, He was tested in every way that you and I are tested. Well now, when you see the test that King David goes through, hey, that brings you all kinds of awareness of how he survived. And how he was probably, because at that time, the Psalms were songs that every Christian or I shouldn't say Christian, every Jewish boy knew. They knew them because they could sing them. Why did they sing them? Because they were a way of survival. In the midst of a lot of turmoil, a lot of hurt, and a lot of pain, and a lot of persecution from the Romans. So, you know, that was a wake-up call for me. And it was a tremendous gift to be able to look at King David's, let's say, survival techniques, how he prayed, how he was responding out of the hardships of his life, and he wasn't giving up. He held on. And then, when you look at John and you see him looking at the Lord from a perspective of light, well, that presents a whole different thing. When you look at the Lord and you say, He is the light of the world, He's the light that comes within me, He's the one that begins to reveal Himself to me and through me, things change. So, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from all sins. And I believe the Amplified says continuously. Correct? Consistently, all the time. It's not something that stops. Now, what happens if you decide that it's as far as you're going to go? That's as far as you go. Why is he giving you the authority to shut it down or open it up? Thank you. I can remember speaking to a person saying to me, I can't go any further, that's as far as I want to go right now. And I said, I respect that. I respect that and I'm blessed that you spoke up. And you know what? I am proud of those individuals that can say those words because they're saying, I'm emotionally unable to go any further right now. Would you love me through this? Got it? And you love them through it, and they begin to say, well, you know what? It's getting a little easier now. I'm recovering a little bit. And just like you were when you were a child, the Lord took you where you were. He loves you where you are, and He's going to continue to purify you. He hasn't finished. It doesn't matter if He started with you as a teenager or if He started with you as a senior citizen. It doesn't matter. It's not important. What's important is that you let him come in and let him mature you at the rate that you can handle. At the rate that you can handle. He'll respect you. But that light that's within you continues to expose the darkness. So may this season of lights, because this is Hanukkah, there's more light coming in every single day. I believe that's why those candles were lit over and expanded over and the gifts came in day by day. Why? Because he's forever revealing himself to us. And he's giving us more. More to work with. More to understand. And my prayer is that this time will be a time where the gifts of the Spirit will multiply in you. That's what I'm asking God to do for you. Because remember, when he was released into the earth, it was a sperm from the Father, who is the Father of light, that was revealed and released into Mary. And the same thing happens when we are born again. I was listening to some CDs from John Paul Jackson when I went to Canada. And I listened to a part of it again the other day. And how many know John Paul takes teams of people all around the world to reveal dreams. Okay? Well, when I met John Paul, that was not his press at that time. But undoubtedly, after I met him, the Lord pressed in. Now, he doesn't say specifically when it happened, but anyway, he had a dream. And it's kind of an odd dream, which he was crying out to God, "What am I here for? What's my purpose? Why has this calling on my life come? And why do I know things that others don't know? And why does revelation come to me differently?" And do you ever question yourself? Why? Well, anyway, the Lord allowed him to have a dream. And in the dream, he's very pregnant. And in the dream, he tells the Lord, because the great physician is in the dream. Of course, everybody knows that Jesus is the great physician. And in the dream, he's got terrible tummy ache, a lot of pain. And so the great physician says to him, "You're pregnant." And so he responds in his dream, "Well, I may be pregnant, but I'm a man. How can this be?" Does that sound like Mary to you? And so he said, "Well, we're going to give you a C-section." Well, he says, immediately, table with all a stainless steel table comes and it appears in the dream, and all the cutting tools are there. And he immediately goes and takes John Paul and just literally slices his belly open and takes out this baby. And of course, John Paul says, he takes the baby and he's crying, "Oh, my baby, how can this be?" And so he's holding the baby, and as he's holding the baby, the Lord says to him, "Well, we got to fix this now," because, of course, his belly's all open. And he opens a desk drawer, takes out a stapler, and staples his tummy in the dream. And he says, even the next day in the natural, he was still feeling those staples in his belly. So he said to God, "What are you doing?" And the Lord, after the dream was finished, revealed to him that he was having a C-section. So he was going to give birth to young seers. And that's when a ministry started for him to be a revelator of dreams. And now he has teams all over the earth in different areas to different functions, and they interpret the dreams, and God gets the glory. So if you ever get pregnant, let me know. In the realm of the spirit, I want to make sure I'm holding the stapler for you. Okay? Coming back, he today is a man that God has used to awaken many, many people to the reality of God. And it started with a dream. Yours may start with a dream. It may start with a word of knowledge. For me, it was multiples of words of knowledge that came. It was multiples of prophecies that came through different individuals. But you know what? He finally got through to me. The light went on the inside. Would you close your eyes, please? Father, I ask that this wonderful Christmas season be the time that more light comes in. That awakening of the reality of their purpose in their human nature will accent and go deeper. And at the realm of the spirit within them, that the light will continue to expand as you take them deeper and deeper. As you have commissioned them to be used for the glory of our God and not for the glory of self. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Merry Christmas.